People of British Columbia, be warned. If you are a pot tourist to Washington State, you may not bring your souvenirs back across the border north. Pot still illegal in Canada. Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer joins us to talk about pot and other news. Hey, Vaughn.
Hello.
Well, I'm imagining vigilant Canadian RCMP members on heightened alert at the border now that our pot stores have opened.
Yeah, actually, I think the warnings are out in both directions. There's a lawyer in Bellingham, Len Sanders, who specializes in immigration cases, and he's been warning Canadians who are planning to come down to be careful giving their reasons at the border to the U.S. officials. Because, as you know, while the state of Washington has decided that marijuana is okay in small quantities, the U.S. government doesn't see it that way at all. And if the border authorities are enforcing federal law and being sticklers about it, and you're a Canadian and you say, I'm coming down to try out the marijuana at the shop in Bellingham, they can turn you back. They can not only turn you back, they can ban you from coming to the United States, and you might have to hire a lawyer and extricate yourself from that order. So it's this funny quasi-legalization that we have, and people are being told to be careful. Having said that, apparently, at least according to the shop in Bellingham, which I guess is the nearest outlet to Canada, they did a pretty good business yesterday. They had a lot of people in, and a lot of them were Canadians.
Yeah, we're expecting a big, you know, pot hotel industry to spring up where everybody comes to visit and you have to stay here and smoke your product.
That's true. And, you know, for a while, I think Canadians kind of had the view that, well, we were ahead of the curve on progressive legislation because we were ahead on gay marriage. And for a while, we had decriminalized marijuana and we weren't prosecuting offenses. So the feeling was, well, we're ahead. Now, of course, Canadians are looking at, wait a minute, we're behind the curve now. Washington is the only border state that's done this, so I think there's a lot of attention being paid as well because of that, and for the reason we talked about last week, which is that BC Bud sales of British Columbia's homegrown marijuana, illegal, are expected to go down, prices to drop, because there'll be less cross-border smuggling, less of a market for it south of the border.
Well, while we're on the subject of pot, Vaughn, I guess it's appropriate time to mention that a man who has been dubbed the Prince of Pot is going to get out of prison. Who is the Prince of Pot?
There's a guy named Mark Emery. He's a Canadian. He's a pioneer, I guess, of legalization of marijuana. He started selling marijuana seeds by mail 20 years ago, and he started selling them in Canada and in the United States, and you could grow your own. And he did that partly as a fundraising thing for his effort to persuade people to legalize marijuana. Well, he ended up getting charged under American law, and he ended up getting convicted, and he ended up submitting himself to the U.S. authorities. This is about 5 years ago now, 2010. He spent 5 years in American prisons. He's due to be released this week. He's in a facility in Mississippi or Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yeah, he'll be taken to a detention center for deportation and deported to Canada. I believe he actually gets delivered to the border, Detroit-Windsor, and that won't happen till sometime in August. But he's on his way out. And of course, the irony, here he is being released from prison for something that now is getting close to being legal.
Well, I find it interesting. I was reading an article. His wife says that Mr. Prince, Mr. Pot, yeah, Prince, is taking a lot of the credit for the fact that we're moving closer to legalizing marijuana across the U.S.
I think he's one of the people that we would say was an activist. He paid a fairly significant penalty for his activism, 5 years in prison. Plus the legal bills and separation from his wife. So, you know, he was somebody that was seen as one of the people that raised awareness on this and that pushed forward on it. I don't know where we're going to end up on this, you know. We may end up with marijuana having a status similar to alcohol in the two countries. Canada's lagging at the moment, Marcy, because I think if it were up to the government of British Columbia, if we were enforcing this particular law and in a position to do anything about it, probably would would have gone the same way as Washington State, and the experiment in Washington is being watched closely. On our national government, however, is now a conservative government, and they're opposed. In fact, they've even tried to shut down the safe injection site in Vancouver for heroin. So they got a hard line on drugs, and to some degree, that's what's happened between the two countries as well. Our national government has been taken over by hardliners, and Washington State residents, I guess, have taken the issue into their own hands.
We're talking to Vaughn Palmer. He's a regular Wednesday guest on The Record. Well, from marijuana to something more somber, this week we observed the one-year anniversary of a train derailment. A train derailed, crashed, and exploded in Lac-Mégantic, Quebec. It killed 47 people, kind of devastated the town. A year later, Vaughn, what do we know about that crash?
Well, there's an enormous legal battle over the accident, as you can imagine. The town is looking to relocate the rail line away from the center of town. There's a heightened awareness about the danger of hauling oil by rail, although it's still on the rise. The particular issue with Lac-Mégantic is that this oil was from the Dakotas. It's the shale oil. Mm-hmm. That oil is now recognized to be more explosive, more volatile than regular crude oil. The railway company that was hauling it through Quebec is saying, well, they didn't know that. The oil was badly classified. Obviously, this is going to be a central issue in the lawsuit, so I don't know where it's all going to come out, but it has, at an enormous price to the people in that town, certainly raised awareness of the dangers of hauling oil by rail.
What has the Canadian government done to make transportation of oil by rail safer?
They've tightened up the classification procedure for one thing, so you have to recognize the volatility of different kinds of liquids. They have also begun ordering, or they've ordered the National Railways to phase out the tank cars that were used on that railway. They're not as safe as the modern tank cars. And so the warnings, tightened safety procedure, railway inspections, you're seeing the same kind of thing in the United States, but, you know, the irony, I shouldn't use the word irony, the tragedy of this thing is that, as you know, there's increased hauling of oil by rail, partly because the demand for the product is such, and it's much harder to build pipelines. Pipelines are safer, generally recognized as such, but it's hard to get one built. In the meantime, the railways are there, and they carry the goods.
Vaughn Palmer is a columnist for the Vancouver Sun, regular on The Record here on KUOW. Vaughn, thanks for talking with me again.
Talk to you next week, Marcy. Bye-bye.